Rejoice and be glad, for yours is the kingdom of God. You and I, we live in a divided world. We see it all around us as nation battles nation. We live in a land that is divided with red and blue states and Republicans and Democrats. There is division in our families as we experience pain, as we deal with devastation, as we long for unity and for wholeness. Maybe you've noticed that we're now living in a time of divided generations. You know, those boomers and the Gen X and millennials are in a bit of a little tiff, I guess you could say, as there's this battle going on with our different ways of thinking and our different ways of living. I mean, there are the issues that separate us, climate change and financial inequality. There's the technology that alienates us from one another. There is the message being sent by either side that sets us apart and divides us. Now, at first, I didn't really understand as I saw a young individual, younger than I am, wearing a shirt, and it simply said, "Okay, boomers." And I thought, what the heck is that all about? So I looked it up online, and I guess you could kind of say it's a statement to the older generation, kind of like an eye roll, if you will. Okay, boomers, like that. You know, that we don't need you or we don't need your outdated way of thinking. Because this younger generation, like the generations before them, certainly feel as though they are being looked down upon and like they don't have anything to contribute. And so there's this response, okay, boomers, whatever you say. I'm in a little predicament here because I don't know what I am. You see, I was born in the year 1965. The boomer generation ended in 1964, and I don't know if the Gen X started until 66. So I'm just kind of on my own out there at 65. So I don't know what to do with all of this. But it's not anything new, this division in generations. In fact, it's been going on for generations, hasn't it? As the older generation says, well, we don't like your music or your haircut or whatever it may be. I'm sure we all remember those days. But even more devastating, I believe, is the division that we see that takes place in the church. As we speak about unity, as we fight and we forget what we're really focused on, as we seek to do things our way and not God's way. And I must say this division within the church is off-putting to a whole lot of people when we talk about unity but then fail to live in it. But here's the good thing for you and for me today is it doesn't have to be this way as we are privileged to seek after the blessed life. As we celebrate the fact that Jesus wants to do a new thing in us and through us. And this can happen, you see, as we, as the church, learn to let go of the things that hold us back and keep us from being the very people of God. For you see, now is the time for us to be something different. Now is the time for us as followers of Jesus to do something different, to follow in his way as we learn to live this blessed life, as we represent to the world the true nature of who this God of ours is, a God of mercy and hope and love. As we begin to do a new thing, as we do the Jesus thing. Not the church thing, but the Jesus thing, as we live in the unity that he has come to bring. And you see, this can really happen for us. For we, his people, as we're willing to let go of those things that hold us back. And as we allow our words to actually match our deeds. As we are welcome, we are willing to welcome those who are different and struggling and don't know what's going on, as we are willing to treat others like Jesus treated others, as we're willing to let go of our old way of thinking and living and not make it about a system. Now, we recognize that we need a system to make the church function. But we don't need to make it about the system. We need to make it about Jesus. As we build a different kind of culture, a unifying church that is organized, because if you want to do anything, you got to organize, but it's also organic. It flows up from who we are and who God is. A church, a culture that's relational. It's not just about rules and regulations. It's really about our willingness to invest in one another. But it doesn't mean it's easy, as this new way of Jesus is challenging. It doesn't leave us in the same place that we were 10 years ago, but moves us forward so that we can reach our potential as the very sons and daughters of God. And here's the thing, this new way of life, it's not dull, but it can be truly fulfilling. Something that most people don't think of today when they think of the church. But you see, this is really the way of Jesus. A way that is inviting and interesting and fulfilling. And you see, as people who follow in the way of Jesus, we can begin to live this blessed life. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when things get hard. As we learn to live as people of hope, as we live as people who are united with a mission, with Jesus in the center of everything we do, because we are the ones who have experienced the power of Jesus in our lives to change us, who we are and what we do, so that we can start to live a life that turns the world upside down, as we live a life that is truly different. Living out the promises of Jesus, knowing that when we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, God has promised to take care of us, and he's promised to take care of the rest. And when we start to believe and truly believe that Jesus is for us and not against us, we can be the people he has called us to be as we start to put him in the middle of everything we do. So that we can live as people of love, showing the way of Jesus to our neighbors and to the next generation. So that they can begin to experience this life-changing, blessed life that God wants for us. As they come to know that Jesus has come to bring blessings beyond belief for them. Now, I must say, I wasn't expecting it, and my guess is you weren't either. I mean, it was late October, not January. It was Halloween and not Christmas. It was supposed to be fall, not winter. But sure enough, this past week, I think, caught a few people off guard. It certainly did catch the public works of Downers Grove off guard at 6:45 in the morning. There wasn't a plow out on Wednesday morning. I think I was caught off guard because my coat and gloves were downstairs and the salt and the shovels were up in the attic somewhere. Even the trees and the bushes, I think, were caught off guard, with their red and yellow colors covered in a white blanket, with the weight of the snow and the ice. We saw how many of their limbs were broken under the weight. Well, maybe you know that feeling. You know what that feels like, weighed down by the troubles of life, burdened by loss, fraught with fears, worn with worry. Well, today we celebrate the fact that we have one who carries our burdens. We have one who knows our troubles, but who calls us his very own. For you see, in Jesus, you and I, we have been made a part of the family. We are part of God's family, an eternal family. And that's what we're celebrating today as we celebrate All Saints Day. This family that we are a part of, that we will one day experience fully and completely, just as those who have gone before us are now experiencing fully and completely. We have been made a part of the family of God. And yet here's the thing. Each of us, you and I, we are unique individuals. We have been created by God in a distinctive way so that we can bring him praise and honor in all that we do and all that we are, as we are people who want to turn things upside down. Turn things upside down as we are living, Roman numeral one, the blessed life. And what does that mean? Well, it means that we've been called to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And we may wonder that as we gather here on a Sunday morning, there's got to be more than this, right? And yet, wow, think about it. Think about all those followers of Jesus who have gone before us and who are now gathered around that throne. We sang about it this morning. We're a part of something so much bigger. Bigger than ourselves. And we've been called to be a part of this family of God, joined with brothers and sisters, joined with those who have gone before us, who have lived the faith, who have shared the faith, who have died for this faith, but now who live in the very presence of God, finding their place. A place of security, a place of joy, a place of peace, a place of blessing. And you see, as those who put our faith in Jesus, we're not alone either. As we, point number one, as we find our place. That's what Jesus is saying in his Sermon on the Mount. You have, even now, a place of security. You have even now a place of comfort, even in the midst of loss and grief. You have a place of mercy. You have a place of joy. You have a place of blessing. John, one of Jesus' disciples, he recognized this when he wrote these words. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. And yet, sometimes we feel out of place, don't we? As we live in our fears, as we struggle with our failures, as we're weighed down by our guilt and our shame. But you see, we have one who took our place. One who is, listen to these words, who is humble. One who is caring, one who is compassionate, one who is righteous, one who is merciful, one who is pure, one who is peaceful. You see, Jesus turned things upside down and he became one of us so that we can be people who are doing a new thing. As we experience, point number two, as we experience real blessings. Because it was Jesus who was all these things and more, but was persecuted for righteousness' sake. Taking our sin, shedding his blood, dying our death, that we could stand in the presence of holy and almighty God now and forevermore. As new and different people, as people who are doing a new thing, as we are, Roman numeral two, sharing the blessed life. So how many of you dressed up for Halloween? Okay. Oh, we got a couple adults there. Yeah, it's becoming, yeah. It's becoming more and more common that adults are dressing up for Halloween, and some of the costumes are good, and Some of them, I guess, are scary. I was coming to church last night, and there was this zombie, like, out in the yard. You know, kind of doing blood everywhere. I'm like, what in the world is going on here? I guess they moved trick-or-treating in Westmont or whatever. I didn't know that. But, yeah, people like to dress up like that. Some of them, these costumes make you think. We had one guy dressed up last night. He was upper GI. He was wearing a camouflage shirt. I don't think he was dressed up on purpose, but it fit into the sermon. So, it worked real well. So upper G. And then I heard about and read about some of those costumes that were just kind of mean. There was a California mother who dressed up like a measles patient. She thought it was funny because she's one of those anti-vaccination parents, but no one was really laughing at that costume. Now, let's face it, there are times when you and I, we struggle to live as followers of Christ, as we put on costumes, don't we? As we put on a costume of judgment or of anger or of pride. And that's sad to say what people see when they look at us as followers of Jesus. But here's the good news. It doesn't have to be that way point number one, as we live out of our real identity. A new identity that's been given to us in the waters of holy baptism. A new identity, a true identity reestablished in the Lord's Supper. As Jesus says to you again today, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. You are a new person. You are a son and a daughter of the King. You are forgiven and loved and empowered to represent me well. You are empowered as you leave this place to turn the world upside down, as you are a person who blesses others, as you are a person who produces the fruit of the Spirit, as you are a person who actually lives as one of my disciples. And how is it that we do that? How do we live as a disciple of Jesus in this world of ours? We simply ask the question, how can I bless others? How can I bless others with compassion when they're hurting and they are in need? How can I bless others with kindness when they feel alienated and alone? How can I bless others as I'm willing to take the chance and speak the truth in love? And you see, we can bless others as we point number one, as we live in a new way, a life that is irresistible. It amazes me as I read the Gospels, the kind of people that wanted to be around Jesus. They were the outsiders, the outcasts. They were the ones who were condemned by the church, and yet they wanted to be around Jesus because Jesus was irresistible. The early church, if you read the book of Acts, was irresistible. People wanted to be around them. I mean, that church grew day by day because they were living the blessed life. And here's the thing, you and I have the ability and the power of the Holy Spirit to live that blessed life as well. Let me give you a little way to help you do that this week. And it begins with that word bless. If you want to bless others, begin with prayer. Begin with prayer. Ask God to show you who are those people in your life that need His blessing. Have your eyes, God, help me open my eyes to see it. And after you begin with prayer, then start L, to listen. Listen to these people that you see need to be blessed, these people that God is bringing into your life. And listen some more. That's the next step. As you learn to spend time and invest in people, as you eat, eat. That means actually sit down and have fellowship with someone. Maybe it's not eating food, but maybe it's over a cup of coffee. That's what Jesus did, didn't he? As he sought to bless others. And then Jesus, if you'll notice, S, the first S is served. He served those people who came to him. Those who were dealing with leprosy, those who were blind, those who needed good news, he served them. And then the final S is he spoke. He began then, as a relationship was developing and developed, he was given the opportunity to speak into those people's lives. If we want to bless our neighbors, if we want to bless the next generation, let's be people who follow in the way of Jesus. Let's be ready to invest our lives in them, turning things upside down so that they can experience this blessed life that God wants for all people. The same blessed life that you want for your neighbors, those people in your life. The same blessed life that you want for the next generation, your sons and daughters, your grandsons and your granddaughters. We need to do something different. We need to turn things upside down. We need to follow in the way of Jesus. We need to live that blessed life. And when we do, we will see God at work. We will see God doing what God does, not dividing, but uniting and bringing together. You and I, ours, what we are living right now, it's the blessed life. Not always the easy life. Never said that anywhere. But it's a new kind of life that can actually turn the world upside down. When you and I, people like us, are simply following Jesus together. Amen. Now may God's peace, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.